Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Best selection anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, water. Roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined by the only man in the country that thinks the Steelers and Bengals should have been in prime time instead of two undefeated teams. But that's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm biased. I admit it.
Sure. Great suggestion.
Well, maybe they should have moved it to Thursday night, seeing as Thursday night's game was nowhere near exciting.
Well, you know what? I think I know what they should do with Thursday night.
Scrap it.
No, I wouldn't scrap it. The ratings are too good and the money's too good, so you don't want to scrap it. But there's a way to do it where you do it right. And this is what you do to make it right. Only two teams are allowed to play multiple Thursday nights. And that happens to be the teams that play the opening Thursday night of the year. In this case, this year was the Steelers and the Patriots. Every team plays 16 games over 17 weeks, which means every team gets a bye. The two teams playing on Thursday night should have their bye week before they play the Thursday night game.
This one made, I just don't understand the schedule makers thinking this one would work. I mean, the only thing...
Nothing is going to work against the Patriots right now. No matter who you put against the Patriots right now. Okay, let's be honest, but your team on the opening night stunk against this team. Okay,
that's true.
Your team did not have Le'Veon Bell, but you had Roethlisberger, you had Antonio Brown, you had no shot.
The only thing that would have made less sense than putting teams on Thursday night just at random would be to put one of the teams that was in London on Thursday night.
But here's my point, though. If every team gets a bye week, so you've got, so you craft the bye week and the schedule for each team playing on Thursday night, so they get a bye week, then play Thursday, then they've got 9 days till the next day.
Totally
the
makes
next
sense.
Game.
Totally makes sense.
I mean, that's what I think they should do. I think that's the difference maker in the schedule right there. Every team gets a bye. So anybody playing on, so in other words, I know the Steelers are playing the Bengals this week, but the Browns and the Bengals should both be off this Sunday. They should both be off this Sunday. Because they're the next Thursday night game. That's what they need to do. If you're going to give these bye weeks, then craft them in such a way, and I think this would be something that the National Football League Players Association would go for, because instead of having a Sunday-Thursday thing, you've got 11 days to get ready for this game, and then you've got 9 days to get ready for your next game.
Remember we had Henry Hynoski on, and we talked to him, we asked him about Thursday night games. He said, usually by Thursday, I'm actually just starting to get feeling normal before the next week's game.
Exactly. I mean, that was a perfect player's perspective moment, because you are talking about all these collisions at incredible speeds. These are great athletes hitting one another, and they're doing so over a three-hour span. It takes a while to recover from that. And if the NFL is going to have a schedule that has 17 weeks to play 16 games where everybody gets a bye week, then I think you need to give the bye weeks to the two teams playing on Thursday night consistently so they can then give them a chance to really be ready. And I think that in terms of the Thursday night package that they're offering, it becomes even more valuable because you're not having two tired teams play one another. You got two rested teams going head-to-head. So I think for the league, it benefits them as well if they can craft a schedule that does that. Everybody gets one. I was listening to Gary Patterson, the head coach at TCU, being interviewed about playing on Thursday nights, and he said, it's great for us. We got a bye week, and then we get, you know, time for the next game. He says, I like playing on Thursday nights. The NFL has to start liking playing on Thursday nights, and that's the kind of schedule they need to craft. They need to put together a schedule where the Patriots and Dolphins did not play last Sunday and played last night. Now, would it have made a difference in the game? No, the Patriots are just better. You put anybody up against the Patriots right now, they're not losing the game. The Patriots right now are just that good. Simple as that.
There was a Thursday night game, though, that was at least competitive. I don't know if I'd say entertaining, but it was competitive. And of course, that was the game that ended at 2:30 in the morning for the West Coast Thursday night game between Oregon and Arizona. But let me ask you this. I realize that was a triple overtime game.
Listen to this. Okay. Arizona State had 37 first downs.
Yeah.
Oregon had 19. Arizona State hit 61% of their third down plays. Oregon hit 21%. Arizona State rushed for 344 yards. Oregon rushed for 180. Oregon won.
And they combined for 1,243 yards offense. My question, though, and I agree with what you're saying, by the way. My question, though, is before this game goes into overtime or triple overtime, it's literally an 82-point game. Is that really interesting? Now, I know your take on it is you're not a big fan of the Oregon offense, and that type of offense, and Baylor's another one, it's not interesting to you. I actually agree with you. That is not a game that I think, watching teams fly up and down the field and really virtually not play defense is not entertaining to me. Am I in the minority?
On this show, usually. But
not this time, because of the two of us, we're actually right in line on this one.
Yeah, I don't find that entertaining. I like 38-31 games, 31-24 games, where you've got enough offense, you've got enough defense, you've got enough special teams, and an unpredictability about it. When one side of the ball on each team is just dominating the game, and you're like, okay, great. I get a little like, okay, great. You know, you whomever has it last wins, right? I got that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, on the other side of it, I don't like 3-0 games either.
Oh, no. I mean, that's because defense dominates too much.
Right.
I don't want games where one segment dominates so much that, to me, it takes away from the entertainment of it. When you've got a flow and a mix to it where you got enough offense and then you sprinkle in enough defense, that's a kind of football game or any game I really like. Basketball, football, baseball, whatever it happens to be. Those are the kind of games I like. That's, to me, what makes football, basketball, baseball, hockey great. When it's one, you know, element, if you're watching a steady diet of hockey games that end up 9-8, you're like, oh, jeez. You know, or a steady diet of hockey games that end 1-0. No, I like the 4-3, 5-4, 3-2 games, you know, where I've got enough mix of it. Basketball, I mean, I watch college basketball. I mean, games that end up in the 70s, yeah, I like those games. Games in the 90s to 100, I'm like, okay. Games are in the 40s, oh, geez.
And I know how you feel about overtime games too, because you're not a fan of the college football overtime scenario.
Oh, I don't like the college overtime because it takes special teams out of it, except for place kicking.
Now that's the
reason I don't like college overtime, because it's just plop the ball at the 25 and here we go.
And that's a great view. That's a great view. What I would like to see, I am getting a little bit tired of the three overtime games, and. What I'd like
the third overtime, you got to go for two.
I know.
Mean, that is the one change they put in.
I would like to see it change either one of two ways. I'd like to see them move the ball back further, started at, say, the 35. Now, I'm just picking an arbitrary number. I don't know why I picked 35.
Yep. But you know why? You know why it's the 25? They're trying to quicken the pace
of
the game.
Sure. It's limited to like one or two first downs conversions.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, they're trying to play overtime, put it out far enough where you have to do a little bit of work to get there. But at the same time, not so far out that we're going to watch some 20-play drive to get there either.
What if we did this? Would you mind if the ball stayed at the 25? What if you had, and again, I know this takes special teams out, but what if you had to go for two every time you scored a touchdown? Not just after the second overtime.
That's fine.
I mean, I love this overtime type of scenario, but I just don't like seeing it go three and four overtimes to decide it. It's like, okay, somebody make a mistake so that this game ends.
Well, yeah, I'm fine with what the NFL does. The
it's
NFL
better.
Plays it out. You play it, and if you score right away, unless it's a touchdown, the other team gets a shot. Okay. And after that, it's sudden death.
Yeah, I think it's better. It's better than it used to be.
To me, it's still a football game at that point. It's still played like a football game. Basketball, of course, any overtime is like the regular basketball. Same thing with baseball. Hockey, they do 3-on-3 overtime.
I was going to say, hockey just changed this year, didn't they?
3-on-3.
See, I don't like that idea either.
You know what? I've watched it. It's actually fun.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it in action, and I'm not a huge hockey fan, so.
Right. You're already getting points for getting to overtime. Now you're trying to earn a bonus point as to who wins.
Okay. Now that leads me to the other thing I was going to say about hockey. I do not understand the point system in hockey, and why is it that you still get a point just to get to overtime?
Because the regulation ended the tie, and it used to be that you would always get a point for a tie before overtime took place.
But at that, to me, again, not being an avid hockey fan, watching it casually at best, makes no sense. Look, just win the game and make it get the point.
You're the guy who thinks the Steelers should never play Green Bay unless it's the Super Bowl. So just don't, your archaic thinking,
This is not archaic thing. This is completely the opposite of archaic thinking, because hockey's doing it now archaically.
So you like ties.
I hate ties. I absolutely hate a tie.
So they're out there trying to break a tie. Now you're against them.
No, I don't think you should get a point to get to tie. You either won the game or you lost the game. Hey, you made it to overtime. You're going to get a point. Why? Just because you made it to overtime, you lost in overtime. You shouldn't get a point unless you win.
You're a guy that's mad that the Mets at one point played the Royals in the regular season.
I'm just mad that the Mets are in the World Series.
You get angry a lot.
I like
Have
to call
noticed?
It passion.
Oh, sorry, that's not selling. We'll come back with more in a moment for News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
If you're like me, you're tired of all the Halloween spooktacular deals and sick of the ghostly low prices. Since when did Halloween become a car buying holiday anyway? Well, Sunbury Motors Hyundai isn't about silly hype. They offer good old-fashioned feel-good deals all the time. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the official sponsor of great cars at great prices. And they want you in an Elantra. To prove it, there's 0% financing for 72 months on all in-stock 2016 Elantras. Check out the completely redesigned 2016 Hyundai Tucson. In stock now. Or at SunburyHyundai.com. These impressive SUVs are priced at invoice minus rebates till October 31st. Prices start at just $25,411. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, veterans and all active military receive an additional $500 off your new Hyundai in honor of your service. Forget about scary offers. Ditch the Halloween tricks and leave your costume at home. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, it's simply good old-fashioned feel-good deals year-round. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyHyundai.com.
All right, what do we have on tap for today? Should be fun. Bob Asmussen from the Champaign News-Gazette to talk about Illinois football. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Ben Roethlisberger being coy about being able to play on Sunday. And Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, all on today's broadcast extravaganza.
Being coy about it?
Yes.
I'll have to listen closely to this one.
He's doing the old, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Oh, that, all right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, what?
The snowball's chance where it's really, really warm for that not to, for him not to play in this game.
Well, here's the issue. He needs to be the best quarterback in the game.
That shouldn't be hard. I'm kidding. He's playing well. I give him credit.
Have you watched 14 play football this year?
He is playing well. I was joking. He is playing well, and it pains me to say that.
He's been the best quarterback in every game he's played so far.
That comes to a conclusion.
Have you looked at the team picture of your secondary? Just asking.
There have been one guy playing halfway decent.
Packers and Broncos, two 6-0 teams. Kevin says that the Broncos were a terrible 6-0 team.
I don't think I said that.
You sort of hinted they're not very good.
No, I said they're not as good as their record. That's what I said.
You are what your record says you are. You're 6-0. You won every game.
We talked about this yesterday. I conceded that to you.
Who has outscored Denver in a game so far this year?
Well, you have to admit a couple of those games, they got lucky breaks. Let's be honest.
Lucky break what? You make your own breaks.
No, see, I don't believe that.
So, in other words, you intercept a pass, it was lucky?
Well, if it's tipped in the air, yeah.
Well, who tipped it?
I don't remember. It was weeks ago. Who tipped it? I don't know.
Oh, my. You just... Oh, that trucking career. I'd try it. What do you think?
Of?
Being a trucker.
I don't know, that's not a bad idea. You see a lot of the country the side that way.
Yeah. They'd be great for you.
Then I could just sit and listen to the radio and yell at you through the radio.
Nah, that's okay.
Yeah, but
take this.
You can't yell back. That's the beauty of it.
Oh, that's okay. I'd find you. Bob Asmussen from the Champaign News-Gazette next. Then Tony DeFazio and Brian Barnhart. Big show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the show on a day where Kevin had to turn in his vehicle to Sunbury Motors Kia.
The 2014 never been titled Sedona EX is now back at Sunbury Motors Kia. That is great news for you because with over $6,000 off the sticker price, you can drive away in a vehicle that seats six comfortably with the heated seats, three different controls for the heating air conditioning system so the people in the back can make sure they're getting enough heat or air, and the passenger and driver, they can set the settings for whatever they specifically want. Not to mention the fact that it has all the accessories you could possibly imagine, accessory ports, actually, you could possibly imagine in this vehicle. Perfect for tailgating out at Beaver Stadium as early as tomorrow. And again, with $6,000 off the price, and this doesn't have any special qualifications. This is just walk in the door, say to the guys at Sunbury Motors Kia that you want to take a look at that 2014 Kia Sedona, and you could be driving away in the vehicle that I've been enjoying for a week. And you know what? With all the great things in this vehicle and all the great accessories, I haven't told you that it drives really well, too, with gas mileage in the mid-20s and maybe even a little higher if you're driving on the highway. Check it out. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and we'll be debuting a new Sunbury Motors vehicle tonight during the Shikellamy-Danville game on WKOK.
All right, that should be quite a game tonight. 7 o'clock will be the kick, 6:30 the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, big game for both teams tonight that you will hear here. All right, and we're in the, of course, Sunbury Motors studio. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Brewers Outlet imports domestics microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And water, soft drinks, roast the peanuts fresh and out every day, snacks, and the pickle bar is second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, let's get a read on Illinois football with the beat writer from the Champaign News Gazette, Bob Asmussen. Bob, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show.
Oh, thanks, Steve. It's great to be on. You guys have a lot of sponsors. That's pretty cool. Must be doing well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you should see. I mean, Bob's actually dressed in a tuxedo. It's terrific stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, Bob, this is an interesting time at Illinois. Interim president, athletic director that people are wondering about, interim head football coach. To the football coach part, has he done enough to help sort it out, or do you think they will take a long, hard look as to what to do with it?
Well, Steve, I really think it depends on what happens from here on out. If Bill wins a couple more games, goes to the bowl, I think it'd be hard to replace him. And the kids are bought in, they're playing well, they haven't been blown out. They played well against Iowa. They beat Nebraska. That was huge. So I think it depends on what they do from here on out. I think in perfect world, they keep him because it'll be great. This may be really trouble if they have to switch again.
Yeah. What's he been like for you to deal with from a professional level?
Awesome. Yeah. Steve, imagine the best guy ever and then double it. I mean, he's been great for the media. He's been open. He's been available. He's been fun. He's been funny. Press conference with him is fun. Yeah, how often do you say that about a coach? So if you ask my vote and every reporter that covers Illinois' vote, they're going to say, yeah, hire Cupid now.
Well, you're around the team enough, you know, when it gets to an opportunity to interview them before, get to talk to them in a meeting room afterward. How relaxed has he made it for them?
Oh, he's been great. That's, I think, his strength is knowing the players, knowing what they need. He's kind of backed off on a lot of things that he did before. He's made it much less stressful, which was kind of critical. You remember, see, when this happened, it was right before the season. So you really needed that strong hand, that guy to come in and calm everybody down. And I think Bill has done a great job. He's done an unreal job doing that part of it. And the kids are buying in. They believe in him. They love him. So I think if you ask the players, you want Bill to stay, they'd say, I'd be 100% yes. No question.
Bob, the Penn State fans last year did not get a chance to see the real Wes Lunt because he did start the game, he was hurt, and then they had to take him out. Riley O'Toole took it the rest of the way. What kind of year has Wes Lunt had?
He's been good, Steve. He's been accurate. He's really been plagued by the drops. His guys are killing him. I think they said up to 40 drops already this year in, 70 games. So that's pretty tough to deal with. He doesn't dwell on it. He doesn't criticize the guys. But it's been hard for him. I think if you give him half those catches, he's way up over 60% on passing. He's done well. He's a tough kid. He doesn't run much. He doesn't scramble the ball. But he's really accurate with the ball. So I think he's a good player. I think Penn State people will be excited to see him.
Bob, what about the running back situation? Josh Ferguson's been banged up with that shoulder. They've turned to a freshman who had great accolades out of Tennessee. What have you seen there?
He's been good. Keyshawn Vaughn has been really, really tough, but they really, really miss Josh Ferguson. He's so versatile in terms of catching the ball, kicks the ball out of the backfield. He's just such a good player. I think they're a different team with him, but LeSean, Keyshawn's doing a good job. He's a good player, not the receiver that Josh is, but he's a good straight line runner. And he is the guy that can break away and score. So I'd be very concerned about Penn State if he gets out in the open.
Last year, going into the Penn State game, Illinois was giving up about 460 yards per game defensively. This year, going into the Penn State game, that number is down to 340 yards per game. What's made the difference for them defensively this year, Bob?
It's pretty easy, Steve. It's Mike Fair. Defense coordinator, came in from the NFL. He'd worked with a bunch of great people in the league, and he's done a great job. Just getting the guys, I think everything is more simple. So they're not asking them to do 20 things. They're asking them to do two or three things. So the pressure is better for the front line. The tackling is better from the linebackers. The coverage is better from the secondary. So you do all that stuff, and you play with aggressiveness and spirit, and you play with a lot of confidence, and you just have a different team. They really do look different. I think it all goes to Mike Fair.
Yeah. And what about the play of Fegeman, the safety? Because I know he leads them in tackles, but I've watched the video, and he gets himself up near the line of scrimmage to begin with anyway, almost like an extra linebacker. What about his story? Because I know a lot of people didn't recruit him, Bob.
No, he's a tough kid. Started at a Division III school, decided, hey, I think I can play in the Big Ten, which is pretty funny if you think about it. And he came in and really blew people away from the get-go. He's a really strong kid. He's talented. He's got good speed, not great speed, but good enough, but he's there. He's where the ball is. Reminds me, in some ways, a smaller version of Jay Lehman. If you remember back to 2007, the great linebacker of Illinois, I think Clayton is a lot like Jay in terms of being where the ball is. And that's critical within that position.
Yeah, and Lehman was outstanding, outstanding linebacker. And he seems to fill that bill. What about Mason Monheim? Tell us a little bit about his progression. He's one of the guys that certainly would be one of the leaders of the team and certainly one of those recruited guys that you would think at this stage of his career would be really good.
You said the right word, Steve, leader. He's one of those guys that every kid on the team looks to. When things are going bad, if they're having a tough play or two, I think Mason rallies the guys, gets them playing right, and he's just a tough, really, really tough kid. Very traditional middle linebacker. Actually, he reminds me of a kid that would play with Penn State, honestly. He's one of those kind of guys, very tough, very hard-nosed, doesn't mess around a lot. You know, he's right to the point. But he's a really, really good kid off the field, which I think helps, too. I think the guys really like him as a person. So he's been a great leader for this team, really, for several years.
Guy that's not starting, but they're bringing in certain situations, is Carroll Phillips. Is he giving them a little more pressure off the edge?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually, the line has played really well. But again, I'll point to Mike Fair for a lot of that. But Carroll is one of those guys that's playing well. Jihad Ward is playing great. Chucky Phillips is playing really well. They got a lot of pressure from the guys up front. And that makes a big difference when your linebackers not quite to the level they've been at recent years. They're good guys. They're good players. But those guys up front are really doing a great job.
Bob, what about the atmosphere around this. I know when I go out there to do basketball, you know, most of the years have been really good. There have been a few lean years, but the fans still turn out in droves for basketball. Is this starting to catch on and with the fans football-wise to come to Memorial Stadium and watch this team play?
Early in the year, I'd say no. Last week against Wisconsin, they had the last game against Wisconsin, they had the best crowd of the year, which really wasn't saying much. It was 45,000, play seat 60. So I think it's slowly building, but they've got some work to do. They haven't gained much trust in terms of being able to win consistently. If you're at Penn State, when you win every year after year after year, people get used to that. Well, they haven't gotten used to that in Illinois. So I think they're coming, but it's going to be a slow process. They're not going to snap their fingers and win the Vans over right away.
As part of that process, what does it mean to be in the Western Division to maybe help accelerate that process?
I think it helps a lot because it's much more winnable. You're in the East right now. Again, I feel sorry for Penn State, but somebody has to be there. But, yeah, you don't have to let Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State every week. Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Purdue are much more Illinois speed. So I think really it was a really good change for Illinois when they went from whatever, leaders, legends, whatever that was, to what it is now. I think it really helped Illinois.
And finally, before I let you go, Bob, we mentioned it to start out to bring full circle, and it's about Bill Cubitt. Has Mike Thomas or the administration given any indication when they would like to make a decision one way or the other as to what they want to do with the head coaching job?
Steve, they've been really, really quiet. They've got other issues going on. They're waiting for the results of an investigation into Tim Beckman's program. So when that comes out, I think after that's done, they'll maybe move forward with who they want next. But right now, they're not saying much. We ask them all the time, honestly. Every time I receive Mike Thomas, I'll say, Mike, what's going on? Anything going on? He'll say, not yet. So that's where they are. I think in a perfect world, they would like to set this thing up for beyond this year. So that means tell people that Bill is going to be the coach beyond this year because right now recruiting is getting killed. They're having trouble because every kid that comes here to visit says, who's the coach? And right now you see Bill is for now, but you can't calling to be on this year. So I think they want to do it sooner rather than later.
Bob, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the insight. We appreciate it very much.
Well, Steve, I'll see you in the box tomorrow, all right?
And I look forward to it very much, Bob. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. See ya.
Bob Asmussen, Champaign News Gazette. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Final half hour, Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of Illinois football and basketball. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Halloween tomorrow. We've already had trick-or-treat night here in State College.
That's a smart idea. That happened last year around here. A lot of the when it fell on Friday night, that a lot of the towns and municipalities moved it to Saturday because of the high school football games and the added traffic for those home games. I can only imagine what it's like for a Penn State home game.
Well, no, they just don't. They don't even want to deal with it, and because there's too many things that can go wrong if they decide to, oh, no, we're going to have it on the 31st. No. You got exponentially more vehicles in this area tonight and tomorrow. So they had it last night.
Has anybody ever done a study on how much money comes into State College, ballpark it, of course, on a Penn State home game? Like, you know, restaurants, you know, what does it mean to the town financially for a Penn State home game?
Well, it drives the economic engine of the area, that's for sure. I mean, there are certain things that drive the economic engine here. Obviously, Penn State's here on a daily basis. So downtown businesses do well because they have that audience that is right there for them. So that's a big part of this. So they've got that already. And that helps. But then in terms of the weekends with the hotels and the restaurants, you automatically have built in 11 weekends out of 52 where you could make it happen. Because you have the 8 football games, the blue-white game certainly counts when you're drawing 75,000 people. That counts. And then you have 11 commencements. I mean, 3 commencements to bring it to 11. That's 3 commencements. Now, that doesn't include, for example, when Paul McCartney plays here to a sold-out house back on October 15th. So you have, you know, wrestling matches, you have basketball games here, you have concerts. I mean, Paul McCartney plays to a sold-out house. When they've had Bruce Springsteen, he's played to a sold-out house. Country music actually should do very well here. All of that drives the economic engine of this area. But Penn State's the number one employer, and Penn State's also the number one reason why people come into town.
You know what the average hotel... Even, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the average hotel... Well, first of all, that's a problem. You have to pay for 2 nights for a football game.
That's what I was going to say.
That's why more and more people are now renting RVs and coming in.
The average hotel price for tonight to tomorrow only... is $200.
Right.
And they're getting it. That's amazing.
Yes, but again, more and more people are coming in the day of the game, and more people are coming in, for example, renting RVs and bringing that in.
Let's see what it is for tomorrow night to November 1st.
Well, again, it's a 2-night minimum. You have to be, if you want a hotel tonight or you want a hotel tomorrow night, well, if you want a hotel tomorrow night, you have to pay for tonight, too.
It's still about $200.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the arrangement you're going to have. Sorry. I'm not in charge of that part.
No, I don't know that every hotel does that, though.
A whole bunch, dude.
Well, I know there's quite a few. I'm not debating that with you at all. I think some of the bigger chain hotels, though, because of being associated with a chain, have to open it up a little bit more. And if you're able to get it through another outlet besides the hotel directly, sometimes you can make a better deal out of it.
There you go.
Like right now, Tauftree's only has 1 room left.
I have 1 room left. If you want to,
I'm not paying you $200. I mean, your house is nice. I enjoyed it. You know, it was a nice visit there, but I ain't paying you $200 to visit.
I don't charge.
Well, now that is in my price range.
We know that.
Free is in my price range.
How about if I use your gift certificate to buy you your gift?
That would be wonderful. I would really appreciate that. I would think that is a touching gift. That you used your gift certificate to buy my gift.
No, it's you have used my gift certificate to buy me my gift from you.
That's not what you said.
Hey, you have used my gift certificate to buy me my gift from you.
I put and my made, gift certificate made, toward it, too.
And made it seem like it was a touching moment.
I put my gift certificate toward it, too.
No, you didn't. You forgot that you had mine.
I did. I'm like, hey, I've got these 2 certificates. I'll use these. I thought that was a great idea. I mean, it sounded very heartfelt. It's not like I went up to you and go, Steve, I need your credit card number to buy you your gift.
Essentially, it's about what you did.
Which I'm more than willing to do, by the way.
I called him up and said, you know, did I ever get my gift certificate? And you should have heard him on the other end. I think I used it.
I made it up to you, though, the next year, though, I got with that World Series program.
That was very nice. That was very nice.
And you didn't buy that one.
No, I did not. I did not. It was also... bought at Ollie's on discount for $1, but that's okay.
eBay, but that's all right.